All right, here we are, Spring Life, week two. And if you look in your bulletin, you should have some notes there. You can follow along. Do y'all have a pen? Does anybody need a pen? If anybody doesn't have a pen or pencil, just put your hand up. We can send somebody back. We've got a few on one of those back tables, pencils, pens, various writing implements, utensils, and the like. Just got to go through my notes here and make sure I have everything in the right order. I feel kind of landlocked here. Oh, well. All right. Well, last week we talked about the power of an invitation and how people desire to belong. And we looked at Philip and how he had responded to the invitation of Christ and how he shared that invitation with Nathanael. And then later, after he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit and was a full-fledged apostle, how he had an opportunity to minister kind of cold turkey to an Ethiopian official on the side of the road reading the prophet Isaiah and invited him to be part of the kingdom of God as well. So we talked a lot about the power of relationships. We talked a lot about the power of inviting people to come and experience Christ with us. And that's really what we want to do. So today we're going to talk about, the key word here is the word adapt, but maybe even better is the word change. And we're going to look at it from a couple different perspectives as it relates to looking at our times, looking at our world and creative ways that we need to present the gospel, and also realizing that God wants each of us, whether you're a believer who's been walking with him for a long time, to experience the transforming, changing power of God, or somebody, maybe you're here today and you've never really entered into that relationship and realize that God wants to start that change, that transformation in you. So we're going to talk about how to adapt to meet the need. I want to start by reading from 1 Corinthians 9. Our premise for today is really talking about, you know, if we're going to advance the message of the gospel, if we're going to advance the message that Jesus came to present, often it will require us to adapt the way that we share that message, how we share it, who we talk to, the situations that we're in. It's going to change. And we're going to look a little bit at Paul and see how far he took that. We're going to look at Paul and we're going to look at his methods of advancing the spread of Christ's message. So we're going to start by reading 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. And you can read that with me. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel. What's the key idea here? How are we going to relate to people? I mean, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you've maybe been one for a little while, you've been one for a long while. What's Paul talking about here when he talks about becoming weak, becoming like a Jew, becoming like one under the law, becoming like one not under the law? Well, three words. Find common ground. Find common ground. Paul drew from his wealth of knowledge, his wealth of life experience, to build relationships with people by connecting with them where there were some similarities, where there was understanding. And obviously this can be more difficult depending on who we encounter, but it's usually not that difficult when you begin to talk to someone and build a relationship with someone to realize that there are things that you have in common. Now, one thing that I just want to mention here, because Paul was very clear that even though he wasn't under the law, he became like one under the law. And even if he was trying to minister to somebody who wasn't under the Old Testament law, that was fine, but he wasn't free to break the law of Christ. So Paul would find common ground without compromise, of course. There is no compromising here. You know, we're talking about that tension between finding new and creative and effective ways to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with people without compromising morally, biblically, spiritually. It doesn't have to be that. Okay, so there will be no compromise. There should be no compromise. But Paul spent his time to say, I will go as far as I can to become all things to all people that I might save some. You know, one thing that Jesus did, one creative thing, for a lot of people it was very creative in his day, was Jesus would talk to the common people using stories. None of the rabbis had done that up to this point. You know, to become a rabbi, to become a disciple of a rabbi, it was quite prestigious, you know. And, there's my daughter calling. This is why it's not in my pocket. It was quite a prestigious thing, you know, to be the disciple of a rabbi and to be able to speak with flowery language and make yourself sound important. You know, Jesus wasn't all about speaking above the heads of the people. His mindset was, I'm going to come down to the level of the common people and share spiritual truths in terms that they can understand. And so what does he start talking to a bunch of farmers about? Seed. You know, his stories that we refer to as parables. It was Jesus' way of coming down to the level of the people. You know, he wasn't demeaning himself in any way. He was finding a common ground by sharing spiritual truths in ways that they could understand. These are the kind of things we see in Paul's life as he begins to spread the gospel. One of the things you have to remember, you know, when it comes down to, you know, even our modern culture, people who minister to children are going to take a little different approach than people who maybe spend some time ministering to teens or college students or young adults or families or people who are in the process of dealing with addictions and struggling. Those, we have to look, who are we talking to and how do we come to them where they are? What did God do? He sent Jesus to this earth where we were to become like one of us so that we could become more like him. So today, I don't want you to think of this as me preaching to you, but Paul is preaching to us. And like all sermons, this message is a challenge for each of us individually. It's a challenge for me as your pastor. It's a challenge for us as the body of Christ. Are we willing to embrace the challenge of adapting our methods to advance God's message of hope, forgiveness, and grace? It's no small task because a lot of us don't handle change very well. We like things, you know, we like to get into a routine. Another word for routine is a rut. Another word for rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. You know, I mean, we like to find a comfortable place. And so this message is about realizing that if we really want to be effective for building God's kingdom, everybody okay? If we really want to be effective for reaching this world for Christ, you know, two words that we probably have to eliminate from our vocabulary are the words comfort zone. Because where there's comfort, oftentimes we're not effective. So, with that in mind, what does the gospel or the good news challenge us to do? Look, this is the official definition of gospel. You know, we use that word gospel. It means the good news. And if it's good news, why do we find ourselves so ashamed of sharing it? So afraid to tell people about it? If it's good news, why do we hide it? And so the gospel, the good news, challenges us. It challenges us to do a number of things. So we're going to look at least four things that it challenges us to do. And look at some of those things from different perspectives. First thing is this. The gospel challenges us to change, not be comfortable. The gospel does challenge us to change and not be comfortable. And again, there's two ways that it challenges us to do this. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, I've referenced this verse before. There's kind of an obscure little reference to men from the tribe of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. That's always struck me as a very appropriate and timely and succinct kind of verse. Men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. You know, as Christians who have access to God's word and the wisdom of God through the Holy Spirit, we really ought to be the most effective and knowledgeable students of our modern culture. We should really be the most effective and knowledgeable students of our modern culture. Now understand this. When people come into contact with the life-giving power of the good news of Christ, they're changed. So we're talking about change on a different level here too. Or at least they should be changed. We experience a transformation that doesn't leave any area in our lives untouched. And this change continues as we grow in grace and we're drawn into deeper places in relationship with God. You know, Christianity is not a call to live a stagnant life. And the word stagnant, I mean, those of you that ranch and have come across these little pools of water, that every once in a while there's a place where the water just doesn't evaporate. There's like some of that magnesium in the mud or whatever, you know. And what do you do? You know, you could be out in the middle of the pasture and it's hot and you're thirsty and that water's been sitting there. What do you do? Don't drink the water. Pastor Dave Morrison in Merriman talks about a time he was out and it was just hot and he came across a pool of water and he says, well, I'm not going to drink it. I'm just going to wet the inside of my mouth with it. And he ended up drinking it and he regretted it. Poor guy. I thought he had more spiritual insight than that. But anyway, that's another story. It's not a call to stagnant living. Our lives, when we get too comfortable, when we get into that routine, we begin to stagnate. But we need to realize that God wants to change us internally and transform us and to be willing to grow continually. And that continual growth requires a willingness to change. So it requires a willingness for God to change us. And then later, a willingness for us to realize that we have to embrace a certain amount of change in our life if we're going to be effective at connecting with people and having them experience the transforming, changing power of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Or if you read it from the New King James, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, you know, what's true for the individual is also true for the church as a whole. You know, we continue to grow into the church that God's called us to be. I mean, we still have room to grow, right? How many of you have room to grow, anybody? The rest of you are lying. Okay. We must be willing. We've got to be willing to allow God to change us. And then as we grow, we have to be willing to adapt how we present the good news as we keep our finger on the pulse of our culture so that real change can happen in the lives of people around us. And we do this, as Paul says, for the sake of the gospel. You know, so just a bit ago I referenced, you know, when I think about the children's ministry that Laura and the various volunteers have built, the relationships that they've built with the kids and the methods that they employ, you know, I mean, I could sit up and share a sermon like this, but what I'm doing with you right now isn't necessarily as effective a way to talk to some kids, especially kids who learn visually and they learn hands-on. You know, I mean, Ron and Chandel take a very different approach when they minister to the teens. In fact, the frustrating thing about teen ministry is about 18 different subcultures within the teen community, you know. And, you know, we're talking about doing all things for all people. I mean, Ron kind of still has it in his mind that he'd like to be able to build a skate park in Gordon where some of the kids that like to skateboard can come and do their tricks and he can kind of be there and connect with them on their level. You know, and that's kind of one little subculture of people within the teen culture in our community that need to be reached. And that's one way to become all things to all. I don't know if Ron was going to get on the skateboard and break some bones or anything like that, but Yeah, Ron's kind of crazy that way. I'm all afraid to go back to my Hapkido class because I don't want to break something again. I can't afford it, you know. Anyway, Ron, he sprained things, broke things, bah, you know. Anyway, I guess I'm just a wimp. But you know, the whole idea of embracing change and realizing that the world is a different place. And from year to year, from decade to decade, different challenges arise, different things happen. You know, culture goes through waves of change. And, you know, for us as the Church of Jesus Christ, we've got to be like those men of Issachar. You know, our finger on the pulse of our culture, being willing to engage people where they are, so that we can ourselves adapt and draw people into the kingdom of God. Well, with that in mind, let's look at the next one. Oh, wait a second. Did I forget something? I did forget something, yes. As we adapt and change how we share the message, our ultimate goal is for God to change and transform our lives and the lives of those around us. So ultimately, our willingness to change is going to have an effect on God's ability to work that change and that transformation in the lives of the people that we're going to connect with. Realizing that we're not going to be able very often to share what we want to share on our terms if we want to be effective. All right. Let's go on to point two. Gospel challenges us to have courage, not to be comfortable. You'll know how to spell the word comfortable well by the time we're done here. The gospel challenges us to have courage, not to be comfortable. And change requires courage. Whether or not you're talking about allowing God to change you, trusting Him to change you, or having the willingness to change with the times without compromise, but to change so that you can connect with your culture or the culture. I mean, when missionaries go in to a different place, if they're not familiar with the culture, they realize if they're going to be effective, they've got to learn the language. They've got to be able to connect with people where they're at. And if they can show the folks that they care about them and care about their culture and respect where they are, they may earn the right to share with them just what Jesus has done. You know, it's much more comfortable for us to continue in normal patterns. You know, when we move beyond ourselves or we intentionally engage someone who's not like us, that can be pretty frightening, isn't it? Yeah, but Paul's example challenges us to become missionaries in our own towns and in our own homes. And the Spirit who's written this gospel on our hearts, He'll give us courage, just as He did for the first Christians and every believer ever since. Paul asked the churches, pray for me that I might have boldness. This is Paul talking. Pray for me that I might have boldness. Like you don't have enough. Interestingly enough, as I was researching this, I found a verse in Acts 4:13 that reminds me that boldness and courage, while a good thing, is also a great example. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Does your life reflect that? Can people look at you? Do they see the boldness and the courage in your life? And even though you might feel like you're just an ordinary person, can people see that you've been with Jesus? It's a good question. Number three. The gospel challenges us to have compassion, not to be comfortable. You get the trend here? There's kind of like a pattern. Okay. C words, you know, comfortable, cookie. C is for cookie. Okay, no, I'm not going to go there right now. Let's read Matthew 9. 35 through 36, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus demonstrated in his life the depth of his desire to be reassociated with those that he had created. I mean, that was the way it was. His heart, his internally, he longed to be reunited with those who were lost and helpless and hopeless, like sheep without a shepherd. So we've got to be clear about the motives behind our actions, and that's the key word here. This is the key word when it comes to dealing with people, motivation. And this isn't something that we're very good at faking. It's just as well something that God has to do in our heart. We got to be clear about the motive behind our actions. That when we're trying to build relationships with people, when we're trying to find opportunities to share the gospel, that we're not trying to be manipulative, that we're not being driven by some kind of marketing strategy, but that we authentically and genuinely care for those who are lost, who have no hope. They don't have the hope that you have. You know, Paul chose to embrace the plight of the slave. He felt the sting of the outcast. He stood in the world of the weak because he had the heart of Jesus Christ. And that would be a good place for you to pray this week. Give me your heart, Lord. Give me the heart of Christ, one that's broken with compassion for those around me. Because until that's there on a genuine level, it may be difficult for you to be effective, to really effectively share the good news. So the gospel challenges us to change, challenges us to have courage, it challenges us to have compassion. Nowhere does it challenge us to be comfortable. But finally, and this one kind of really, for me, gets the juices flowing. God, the gospel challenges us to be creative, not to be comfortable. Okay, so we kind of come back full circle here. Even though the way that we express the message might change, the medium, the terminology, how it can be shared, the message itself never will. Like I said, Paul wouldn't compromise. I don't think we should ever compromise. We don't have to compromise. But we can be creative. He's challenging us to release the gospel in creative ways. And the truth is, if I go back to what I said at the beginning, I think we should be some of the most creative, God-inspired people in the world. Do you agree with me? Hello? Is this thing on? We should be the most creative, God-inspired people in the world. You know, a few years ago, there was this church in Georgia that had this crazy idea to make a movie. And you know, and a lot of times the words Christian and movie don't go together very well because people look at it and go, But they're like, you know, let's make a movie and let's make it top notch. Let's get good equipment and hire some people that know something about cinematography and acting and directing. And they released a movie that did pretty well called Flywheel, which you may or may not have heard of. And they said, well, let's do the next one a little bigger. Let's do it a little more powerful. Let's try to get a wider release in theaters across the country. And let's really, let's just make an uplifting movie that shares positive values and the message of Christ. And that movie came out called Facing the Giants. Now you know what I'm talking about, right? I haven't even watched the whole movie. I was sitting here, I walked in the house one day, it was on, and I watched like 5 minutes of it, and I'm like holding back tears, you know. I mean, the scene, and the guy stands up in the football game, and it just is a very uplifting, very powerful film done by a church. You know, and a lot of people, you know, they haven't been able to really bash the production quality of this film because it's, you know, the audio, the video, the whole thing. I mean, it's a well-done flick. And then they said, you know what, let's do it bigger. Let's do it bigger and badder. And then they did the movie Fireproof and got Kirk Cameron to play the lead. And that movie's, you know, again, very well done. So here's this church that at some time, you know, was started by somebody somewhere, maybe in a basement or in somebody's house, that had an idea. If we really want to engage our culture, what do people do? A lot of people go to movies. A lot of people go see a lot of movies. A lot of movies they shouldn't go see. A lot of nasty, icky, movies. Let's make some movies that are good and that might even have people look at their lives and say, I need that. You know, what? I doubt we're going to make any movie here in Gordon, but what, you know, as a church, you know, I want you to be thinking, what are some creative things that we could do to engage our culture in a discussion about Jesus Christ, using the tools that we have at our disposal? You know, the enemy has had control of the media for so long. Why do we put up with that? Why do we just sit by and let that happen when we have these resources at our disposal? Did you know that periods, in historically, periods of invention and creativity have always accompanied periods of spiritual revival? Did you know that? You know, a lot of times people disassociate science with spirituality. But during the times that there was a spiritual revival going on, oftentimes that revival corresponds to a period of massive creativity and invention and patents being filed. Because we were designed to be inspired by the Spirit of God. We should be some of the most creative, God-inspired people around. Our purpose is to spread the transforming good news. So what we need to do is understand our culture and those around us and allow God to show us how we can effectively share the good news so that people's lives around us can be touched and transformed. Now remember, it's not that Paul changed who he was. Paul didn't change who he was. But he cared to understand who they were and put himself in their place. So, Paul's life challenges us with this question. What's your first priority? Is it the good news? Is it the great news of Jesus Christ? Is it the mission of seeing the world around you experience the grace that has transformed you? Okay, maybe, let's back up. Has that grace transformed you? Or are you still kind of stuck in the middle of what I once was and what I want to be, and I'm in limbo? I mean, that's a good thing for you to go to talk to God about. This was Paul's consuming passion. It was the driving force behind everything he did. He pushed through shipwrecks. He pushed through death threats, assassination attempts, all the while sustained by his singular mission to see one more person come into a relationship with Christ. He was willing to put his life on the line to make this message happen. And the real question comes down, how far are you willing to go? How much change are you willing to endure? How much courage are you willing to muster? How much compassion are you going to allow God to build in you? How much creativity will you allow the Spirit to inspire in you to be the one that he's called to reach those around you? Your homework for this week would be to, on the back of your sheet, you could even do it now if you wanted, just write one or two or three out-of-the-box ideas, ways that you as a person or we as a church, you know, you might want to come share it with me, could become all things to all people that we might win some. Think about it this week, pray about it, and we'll talk. Let's pray. Let's stand, shall we? Father, thank you for your power, for your inspiring Holy Spirit that lifts us up, that encourages us, that teaches us, that gives us insight that we wouldn't normally have. Thank you for the power of your word, Lord. And I pray as we realize that your power is at work in us, changing us and transforming us, the last thing that we ever want to do is keep that to ourselves. Because your desire is to change and transform all those who you've created. Lord, help us to live near you, steeped in your wisdom and your knowledge, relying on your guidance and your direction every day, that we might be the most effective, inspired, God-filled people in this generation. And that people will look at us and they'll see that we've been with Jesus. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, hey, you look like you've been with Jesus. All right, have a great week. We'll see you back here next time. God bless.